Good morning. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, we'll be in Hebrews chapter 11 in just a moment. And we'll look at some verses there. Hebrews chapter 11. I just want to take a moment and say welcome to everyone who's here this morning. We have, I know, several of our own members who are either sick or just had surgeries or out of town, but we have quite a few visitors with us, and want to know just how welcome you are and hope that you feel welcome while you're here. Hope that you see a group of God's people who love God and want to follow His Word. Just a reminder, next week we have a special treat. I know Wayne mentioned something on Wednesday night about this for those of us who are here. And that is Ed Harrell is going to be in town. You might remember Ed did our gospel meeting here last year. He's also one of the preachers that we help support. He does a lot of work over in India, and we help support him, and he's going to come and preach for us next Sunday morning. And I probably don't appreciate him like a lot of you do, because a lot of you have listened to him for many, many years, longer than I have. But I got to sit with him, and he taught a class when I was in college, and I got to sit with him in a semester and learn from him about church restoration and just the history of the church in the United States. And he, like Wayne said on Wednesday night, is just somebody that doesn't have many years left, but his knowledge is just immense. And I think we're really going to benefit from him preaching to us next week. And like he said, there might not be many more opportunities to hear someone like an Ed Harrell much longer. And then, of course, next week was supposed to be our sermon and song, but we'll move that to the week after that, and Wayne will be planning that out. He says that he has an idea in mind for the sermon and songs that he's been wanting to do, so he'll be planning that, and I think it will be a great service as well. I want you to think about that word there on the screen, journey. And I want you to think about all the different kinds of journeys that you have been on in life or that you plan on going on sometime. Some of you might have a bucket list to go certain places in the world, and you'll go on a journey to get there. But there are several different kinds of journeys. When I think of journeys, I might think of something like a vacation where you pack everyone in the car and you drive to a destination. You drive down to the beach. You drive to the mountains. You drive to grandma's house. Whatever it is, you're on a journey. Maybe you get on a plane and you pack everything up and you get everyone on a plane and you're on a journey to another country or another state or whatever it may be. But there are other journeys that we go on as well. I mentioned this at the manor this morning when we were talking about Abraham. And we'll get to Abraham in a second. But there are several different kinds of journeys that we go on. And maybe some that we don't think about as journeys, but that's what they are. If any of you have ever tried to go on a diet or an exercise program, you're on a weight loss journey. You might have heard that referred to that at some point, a weight loss journey. You might have been on a journey to find yourself. You might have been on a journey to fix yourself. There's so many different things that we can call a journey here in this life. And when you look at all the journeys that we go on, we're going to look at some attributes that they have, but there's so many different kinds of things that go along with a journey. When I said just a moment ago, when I think of a journey, I tend to think of a vacation. And I tend to think of packing all the kids in the car, and you have all your luggage. And, you know, before kids, if a drive took, you know, I remember going to see my parents, and we lived in Northern California. They were in Southern. It's supposed to be about five and a half hours between us. And Brooke and I would do that drive, no problem. Just the two of us in about five and a half hours. But when Landon came along, that drive took maybe closer to seven and a half. It just took a little bit longer. Why? Because you have to stop. You have to change diapers. You have to feed. We need to stretch. And when kids come along, those journeys tend to go longer. But even without kids, have you ever been on a journey where something bad has happened? Have you ever driven across country before? Every time you drive across country, something is going to happen. A flat tire, or you know, the engine failure, something's going to happen. You might run out of gas. There's always something that seems to happen in the journey. Now, very few of us have probably ever gotten into a vacation or a journey where a bump in the road has caused us to turn around and go back home. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've done that. But very few of us, if we get a flat tire on the side of the road on the way to the beach, are going to say, all right, no beach trip this year. No, you'll change the tire. It might add a couple hours to your time. It might add maybe only 30 minutes to your time. But you're still going to make it. You just know it's a minor hiccup. Here's the thing about journeys. Very few of us look at our discipleship, our dedication to God, our service to God as a journey. But that's exactly what it is. And some journeys are long and some journeys are short. And some journeys are easy and some journeys are hard. But here's what happened. When things get difficult, when things get hard, here's what many people do. I can't say everybody, but here's what many people do. If they get a flat tire in their spiritual journey, instead of changing the flat tire and getting back in the car and continuing on, we just give up and go home. We say, well, this is too difficult to do, and I can't possibly go on any longer. And so what we do is we give up on our spirituality. And I'm sure you've known people like that. That have dropped off from their faith. Maybe you have questioned that at some time. Maybe you're there right now in the middle of your journey wondering if you should press on. I think of someone like the rich young ruler, who he was so willing and so dedicated to following Christ. What do I need to do? And Jesus, we know what Jesus told him. He said, you need to go sell all your possessions, for your possessions are great. You need to give to the poor, and then you can come and follow me. And he went away sorrowful because he didn't want to sell everything he had. When the journey asked him to do something he didn't want to do, he wasn't willing to go the distance. He gave up, and he went home. He didn't want to follow Christ. You know, when you look at journeys, and especially as we look at our spiritual journeys, this morning, there are just a few things that no matter where you are, and I'll mention this probably again here towards the end, but you look out at just the audience here this morning, 200 people, 200 individuals, and you have as young as newborn babies, and you have as old as 90s. You have some that are just starting their journey. You have some that are about a quarter of the way through. Still young, still learning. You have some that are halfway through. You've just crossed the halfway checkpoint. And you have some that you can see the finish line. And there are a few things that all of us will have in common in our journeys. And when some of those things are that journeys are difficult. There are going to be times, I look at these newborn babies and you know, Brooke and I always joke, isn't it just nice being a kid? They don't have to worry about anything. The hardest thing they have to do is pick up toys. Right? I mean, it would be so nice being a kid. We cook for them. We feed them. They get to sleep as much as they want. We don't disturb a sleeping baby. I wish that rule applied in my house to me. We don't disturb a sleeping Kevin. That would be great. They have nothing to worry about. But their time's coming. Because journeys are difficult. And where it might start out easy, the farther you get into your journey, you get into this rose age here, you start experiencing life a little bit. And then you take that next step in your journey and you get married, you start having kids, life gets a little bit more difficult. And you start just keep going through the journey, difficulties will come. Hardships will come. And at times it seems like when you're on your journey, it just seems too long. That day after day, you wake up and you do the same exact things. It gets boring. It gets monotonous. Serving God is difficult and it's hard. And sometimes we might ask ourselves, why do we have to do this our entire lives? That's kind of what the Ecclesiastes writer was saying. Ecclesiastes writer was saying that life was just a bunch of cycles. Life was just one thing after another, and life repeated itself over and over and over again. And at the very end of chapter 1, when he says life was just a bunch of these cycles, he's asking the question, and I'm paraphrasing, what's the point? He would say, it's vanity of vanities, all is vanity. There's really nothing to it. It's just a long, endless cycle of life. And journeys sometimes are hard, they're difficult, and they're long. I will never forget moving here. It was David, my older brother, and myself, and our cat. And we got in my car, and day one was great. About 12-hour trip. Day one was great. We were excited. We made it to Albuquerque, New Mexico. We wanted to go eat some good food. Day two, it was good. David and I really never fight. We got along the whole trip. But you could tell by day three, him and I, we were just ready to be done. We weren't done with each other. We were still having a good time, but we were just ready to be done. It was long. I think total, we spent about 40 hours in the car. Just long. And we hit a point somewhere in Texas or Oklahoma where there's just nothing on either side, where you realize just how long the trip is. And something happens about that halfway point where you just feel like, man, can we just stop and get out and do something? We are tired of being in the car. And sometimes as Christians, that's about how we feel. Now, we call it a midlife crisis, right? You hit about the halfway point. We just got to stop and we got to get out and we got to do something different. But sadly, what so many people do is that something different is we give up on faith. Journeys are difficult and they're long. And these two reasons right here have led countless people to give up on their service to God. But let's remember something. This is where Hebrews chapter 11 comes in. When you're on a journey, you have a destination. You have somewhere you're going. And like I said, very rarely do you let a little bump in the road or a little fatigue or the length of a journey deter you from getting to your destination. I don't think y'all would have liked it. I know the elders wouldn't have liked it if I hit Texas and said, you know what, I'm tired. I don't want to reach my destination. I don't want to go to Athens, Alabama. I'm going to stay here in Texas. Now, I would never do that. Nothing against Texas, but it's not a place I want to be. But I wouldn't just give up halfway through the journey. Halfway to the beach, would you all say, you know what, the beach sounds wonderful, but I don't want to make it to the beach. I'm tired now. This is a little too long, a little more difficult than I thought. We're just going to stop here. No, you wouldn't do that. You want to make it. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says here. The Hebrew writer, after talking about some of the patriarchs, after talking about Abraham specifically, listen to what he says about these people, starting in verse 13. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." He says these people who by faith have done these great and remarkable things, they're on a journey. But their journey was not to some earthly destination, not some earthly country. He says if they love their country, I think specifically speaking about Abraham, remember Abraham's journey? Abraham literally took a journey. He was called out of his father's homeland out east and told to go west because God was going to give him a new homeland. And he had to travel and go on a journey. And the Hebrew writer says if he desired to go back to his old country, he could have done so. But Abraham understood something. His journey was not about getting to an earthly country. His journey was about a new homeland, a heavenly homeland. He had a destination in mind. I want you to think about some of the journeys that we read about in the Bible for just a moment. I just mentioned Abraham, where he was asked to give up his father's homeland, leave a lot of the friends and family he knew behind. Literally go on a journey to a brand new place where he's never been. And once he got to his destination and the promises were given to him, he didn't know what promises he would see or when they would come. He didn't know when he would have a child. He didn't know exactly where the land was. He was trusting in God that the destination was there and he would reach it safely. You think of the children of Israel and the journey that they were on, who from Egypt had to go back to the promised land. Now they literally fell in the boat of what we were just talking about. When things got difficult, what did they want to do but turn around and go back to Egypt? It would have been better to die in Egypt, they said. It would have been, we had all the food we wanted in Egypt, but we don't have it here in the wilderness. On their journey, it was too long and too difficult for them, and they wanted to give up time after time after time. But it took Moses to keep them moving along. And it was worth it when they finally got to the promised land. You think of Ruth. Ruth, who was not an Israelite by birth, but married into an Israelite family, who left her homeland and said to her mother-in-law, Naomi, your people will be my people and your God will be my God. And she journeyed to a new homeland. And there she found her Redeemer in Boaz. I think of the Good Samaritan and the Jew that he had to help on his journey. That story starts out now as a certain Jew traveled or journeyed from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was on a journey. He hit difficulties. He hit hard times. I think of Jesus and the journey that he took from heaven to come here. And the whole time he was here, that those 30 plus years, that journey that he had to take, the difficulties that he had to endure, the journeys, especially in those last couple hours of his life, as Gwen read to us just a few moments ago, the journey of having to be mocked and ridiculed, of having to be put on a cross. Can you imagine the short journey from the city of Jerusalem out to the hill? Well, he was carrying his cross. What if that journey got too long and too difficult for Jesus and he called those 10,000 angels? You know, there's so many different journeys in the Bible that we could talk about, but they all have a few things in common. They're all difficult. They were all long. Some of them lifelong journeys. But they all had somewhere where they were willing to go and somewhere that they had in mind. As the Hebrew writer says, for many of those, by faith, they understood that their journey was not about reaching an earthly country, but they desired a better, that is, a heavenly country. Now, sadly, many people who are on their journey will never reach their destination. But I want us to think about, in just the few minutes we have left this morning, I want us to think about our journeys. The journeys that each one of us are on, that where you are. Now listen, I'll say this up front. I can't just put out a blanket statement because everyone's journey is so different. Some of you are going to experience things I will never have to experience, and vice versa. Some of you have already been through things that some of us haven't. Some of us will have easier journeys than others. Not saying it's going to be easy, I'm just saying it's going to be easier than others. But all of us are on a journey at some point in our discipleship. Most of us in this room have decided to follow Jesus. We've been on our discipleship journey for some time. Like I said, some are just starting out, and some have been there for many, many years, decades. Some maybe have not decided to start their journey yet in discipleship. They're still contemplating whether or not they want to give their life to Christ. And I don't want to deter you by saying, hey, this journey's difficult and this journey's hard. But I want to share with you some things that, while we're on our journey, can help us reach our destination. Let's remember that as we journey to discipleship, I can already tell that looks a little different than what I did, so it might look messed up here in just a second. I apologize for that. But our discipleship is a journey. I want you to turn with me to the book of Philippians in chapter 1. There's an interesting verse here that as we maybe sometimes pass over, because these first few verses and when we get to these letters are just kind of the introductory material, and we want to, you know, jump to the good stuff. But in Philippians chapter 1, if you start reading with me in verse 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very good thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. I love that. Paul says, I'm praying for you. Every prayer I make, I'm praying for you and the fellowship that we have together. Always in every prayer, I make requests for you with all joy. But notice what he says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He says it's a journey. I pray for you that you may continue from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He, that is God, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying, continue on. I pray that you continue on in the fellowship. That not just from the first day where you decided to give your life to Christ until now, he says that he who started a good work in you will continue to do so until the day of Jesus Christ. That is the day that Jesus decides to come back, until the end of our journey. Our journey and our discipleship, we must continue on. In Ephesians chapter 4, just one book back, it might be just a page turn backwards. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul says there, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. We have to walk worthy in our journey. Our journey is a walk. Our journey is a daily decision to walk with Christ. And there are countless other verses that we can go to. We know what the Hebrew writer says earlier than Hebrews chapter 11, where he says that they should have been desiring the meat of the word, but they were still needing milk. They hadn't progressed in their journey. And when we look at our discipleship and how we're supposed to walk with Christ, on how we're supposed to talk with Christ and act like He wants us to act, and when we look at the good works that Christ is doing for us, sometimes it's a long journey and it's a hard one that we don't want to finish. And sometimes we look at the Bible and what the Bible has to say and we say, well, it's just a bunch of rules that I don't want to do. It makes my life hard. And so many people go through their life really never knowing the purpose for being a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ. But we cannot forget what our purpose is. That is to serve God, to love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, to love our neighbor and ourselves, and remember that this world is not our home. That this world is not about you, me, and I. This world is not about what I expect to get out of it. This journey is about finding our earthly or our heavenly destination. And yes, it will be long and it will be difficult. But let's not forget these couple things. The first thing is this. Now, no words are deciding to show up on this, so we're just going to, you know, we'll leave it black. That's okay. The pictures are all there. The words are not. I don't know why. So we'll just, we'll go ahead and just leave that black there, and we'll go along with it. A couple things we need to remember about our discipleship journey. And that is, Jesus is there to help us. You know, I love the story in the book of Luke. You'll see it on the very front of your bulletin, where two men were walking to the town of Emmaus. It was a 7-mile journey from Jerusalem. And as they were walking, Jesus came and was talking to them. Of course, they didn't know it was Jesus. But it was the same day that Jesus rose from the dead. And so these two men, as they were traveling from Jerusalem, they were wondering, they were asking questions like, did this really happen? They were trying to contemplate what had really just happened. They heard about these women that had come into the grave, that they saw an empty tomb. Could this really be accurate? They would even mention that this was supposed to be the Savior. This was supposed to be the one to deliver Israel. They were trying to contemplate all these things, and Jesus met them along the way and started talking to them, and he helped them see exactly what the purpose was. It says, starting in scriptures, he began to speak to them things concerning himself. And he helped them, I think, understand. And sometimes on our journey, I think we forget who we're walking with. We forget that we're really walking this journey with Christ. We forget that Jesus has been here, that he's walked on this earth, that he has felt our feelings, he has felt our frustrations, and he has seen our difficulties. And Jesus has walked here. And Jesus is here to help us on our journey. Jesus would say in the book of Matthew that all you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me, and I will give you rest. yes, this life is hard. But Jesus is there to help us. Another thing our journey will do is our journey is going to teach us. There's going to be several things that we will learn along the way where we might not have learned otherwise, but because of the difficulties that we run into in our journey, we are going to learn different things, and our journeys will teach us. Our journeys will teach us to trust in God. Our difficulties will teach us to trust in the one who has, again, been here and walked here. You know, and I've driven up and down this country several times. I've moved from California to Florida, then from Florida to Kentucky, back to Florida, then up to Indiana and back to Florida, then to Nevada, then to California, and now here in Alabama. I've done preaching all over this country, and I've driven all over this country. And I've learned several things among those journeys. One thing I've learned is to trust the locals. I'll never forget pulling off the road and getting gas, and there was all these detour signs. And I said, how do I get around this detour? Because that's when, I don't feel old, but this might make me sound old. That's when GPSs were kind of becoming a thing. Now they're everywhere. They're even on your phones. But this is when you didn't have a GPS on your phone. And I had one of those ones you had to mount on your dashboard. And I said, the GPS is telling me to go this way, but all the detour signs are telling me to go a different way. So I was asking the guy at the gas station, do you know another way? And he gave me some what I thought were really shoddy directions. Just, I can't follow those directions. I don't know where that's going to lead, and I don't trust this guy. So I just decided to follow my GPS. It added about 3 hours onto my time, where once I got to my next gas stop and I looked back at the map, the way he told me probably only would have added about 15 minutes. I learned to trust. If I'm going to ask questions, trust the people who know better, right? You know how many people will seek help and seek information? And they'll go to God's Word. They know what God's Word says. They might go to spiritual people who have spiritually influenced their lives, like preachers or elders or maybe a parent or just someone that they look up to. And as we reach difficulties on our journey, we'll go seek help. The question is, are we trusting the help that we're getting? Are we going to apply it? Another thing that our journey will teach us is our journey will teach us to persevere, to not give up. That although life will seem difficult at times, Jesus tells us that if we desire to come after Him or to follow Him, He says we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. But one word that he adds there that I want to focus on, he says, you need to daily deny yourselves, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's persevere. Times will be difficult. Times will be hard. Journeys will be long. But we must persevere and not give up. Our journey will teach us to grow spiritually. Like I said, there are just different life lessons that you cannot learn until you reach difficult situations. It starts back when we were young, in our infancy, and we tell children, don't touch this because it's hot. Well, they have no concept of what hot is until they touch something that's hot. They have to learn from difficulty so that the next time they come to something hot, they know, well, that hurt me last time, and so I'm not going to touch it this time. Sometimes we grow out of our difficulties and out of our journeys. Lastly, this morning, if we let it, our journey will lead us to heaven. The journey we are on is an eternal one. The journey that we are on is one that will really lead only one of two ways. And if you turn with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 7, Jesus tells us exactly what two ways we can go. And we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that we should be following Him. But for some reason, Jesus tells us there's something different happening in our society and in our world. That even though the narrow way, the way that we know we should go, that is Jesus, is the way we should all go, He says there are not very many people that will do it. In Matthew chapter 7, as he's finishing his Sermon on the Mount, he says in verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." In other words, I think what he's saying here when he talks about this, these roads, all of us will find ourselves on a road. All of us are on a journey in this world. And there's only two ways we can go on our journey. There's the wide, broad way that leads to destruction, or there's the narrow way which leads to life. That narrow way is difficult, he says. And there are few who find it. But the broad way, it's easy. That's the road that everybody wants to go down. It's the road that everybody wants to travel. But it's the road that leads to destruction. Just like the roads in life, we will have bumps. The car might break down. Sometimes it might seem easier just to stop, turn around, and go back home. But when we realize that the destination where we're going is not of this world, that it's a place that only God can provide, it's a place that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. It's, as Hebrews 11 put it, a heavenly country. When we realize that our destination is eternal life with God, we realize that no matter what bumps and bruises may come along our way in this journey, we can press on and we can persevere and trust that God is there waiting for us at the finish line. And the sad reality that Jesus says here is there are a lot of people that will not persevere long enough to enter in by the narrow gate. There are too many people who will enter into the wide gate and they'll follow the way of the broad, and it will lead to their destruction. I think, sadly, so many of us have known people who have made that choice, where they have given up on their discipleship and on their journey with God, where they have given up on the destination. I want to read to you Hebrews 11 again, and specifically these last few verses, or this last verse in verse 16. "They desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." How many of us would love to say that God's not ashamed to be my God? He says, "They desire a heavenly country, therefore God's not ashamed to be called their God. And He's prepared a city for them." Have you ever, after a long journey, you finally get to your destination, you finally get to where you're going, and there's just this feeling that is almost unlike any other feeling, because you know that you don't have to get back in the car. You know that you don't have to stare at nothing but road for many more hours. You know that you've made it. Maybe if you're going to grandma's house, she's got the freshly baked cookies for you, or a nice pie waiting for you. There's just something about getting to your destination that feels good, because you know your journey's over. Can you imagine when we get to heaven what it's going to be like? To know that all the difficulties, all the hardships, it's all going to be worth it because we've finally reached the city that God has prepared for us. We've finally reached our destination, eternity with God. We sang a song just before the lesson, and I did not communicate this with him, but it was the perfect, one of the most perfect songs we could sing. "This world is not my home. It says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me. He's forgiven me. And now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Lord, You know I have no friend like You. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? I want us to end with that question. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? We're all on a journey. And we all have our destination, heaven. And if that's not our home, then what will we do? Well, like has been said so many times before, if we've missed heaven, we've missed it all. And Jesus is there to help us through. Jesus is there to guide us on our journey, no matter how difficult or how hard it may be, no matter how long it may seem, Jesus will see us through. Are you ready? Are you ready for heaven? As I said just a moment ago, some of us have been on the journey already for several years, some of you longer than I have. Some of you have yet to start your journey with Christ and become a disciple. Some of you have never decided to give your water or to give yourself through Him through the waters of baptism. Some of you have never had your sins washed away so that you can begin living in newness of life. You want to start your journey today? You want to be in heaven? Jesus says there's only one way, and it's through Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. Now's the moment. Now's the time to start your journey. No matter how long and difficult it will be, we'll all be there to help you through. Jesus will be there to help us. Jesus will be there to welcome us home when we reach our goal of heaven. If you want to give your life to Christ this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.